Fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast here on a very short week in Flowery Branch. Joining you as always, I am Jay Adams. We've got Daniel Cox in the building. He's just going to nod. Okay. And Anthony, the intern, is also here.
Hello, America.
Saying hello to all of America. No song today, though. We're not.
No, we're keeping it short like my height this week. So
okay. How tall do you go?
On a good day with my shoes on, I'm about maybe 5'6", 5'7". With my shoes off, it's still the same height. So there's no difference.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Does that mean you don't wear shoes to work?
It may appear so.
Y'all, all right. Okay, so we are going to try and buzz through an abbreviated version of the Falcon Cast podcast this week. Obviously, lots and lots and lots going on as we turn around from a win over the Buccaneers and get ready for a quick Thursday night game here against the Saints. And, you know, I was pretty happy with Sunday's win over Tampa. You know, there were some things that we've seen not go well this season that suddenly went well, one being the run defense. I think holding Doug Martin to 50 yards is I mean, if you would have told us that last week that Doug Martin was only going to have 50 yards, we probably would have laughed at it.
We would have had a different conversation.
Much different, yeah. So I was extremely happy with that. Julio had an outstanding game. I mean,
it's career day.
Career day. Matt had a career day. You know, it's just one of those wins where, you know, look, it's a hard-fought game. I think if a couple of things go your way a little bit, you know, the two missed field goals, maybe you score a touchdown on that first drive instead of settling for three, you beat this team by more than two scores.
Absolutely.
Or by two scores, excuse me. So, all things considered, a win is a win, and I know some people are sick of hearing about that, but I don't care. A win is a win. We don't get style points. That's a good win for me. Any win is a good win.
Yeah, there were definitely some missed opportunities. But, you know, Pat Jasinskas from ESPN.com said, I don't recall if he said from the NFC South or just from the games that he's seen this year in the league, he felt like that was one of the best games he's seen. And it really was. It was two good teams, and they were going at it. I mean, you know, the score was what it was at halftime, 13-10, 10-10. I don't recall it specifically, but I felt like the score didn't quite reflect how well the two teams were playing, but in some ways maybe it did because they were playing very balanced. You know, Falcons offense and defense were doing a really nice job against both sides as well on the Tampa side. So, you know, a win is a win. You're right, Jay, but that was a good win.
Yeah.
That's a good team.
And, absolutely.
You know, and 24, 23, whatever.
I say get used to this because this matchup with the Bucs is going to be – in the next few years, you know, if all goes well under Schiano, it could be one of the premier matchups in the league, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, they're loaded with talent. They've made a commitment to getting better, and they have. Yeah. And, you know, that was a very good football team that the Falcons beat the other day.
Yeah.
Like you said. Speaking of another very good football team.
Premier matchups.
Yeah. Thursday night, the Saints come to town. We know a little bit about the Saints, don't we?
Yes, we do.
You know, they're a team that's playing for their playoff lives right now.
Absolutely.
Won 11 out of the past 13 against the Falcons. They coming off that loss this past Sunday against San Francisco. That was a tough game for them physically.
Yeah.
I mean, San Francisco's a team that'll smack you right in the mouth.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're going to be a little banged up. And you know, the Falcons are too. They had a physical game against the Bucs too. So, for me, this is one of those where – I mean, you want to control your own destiny, and you've got the chance to control your own destiny, you need to win this game.
Yeah.
From a Falcons standpoint. You know, the Falcons win, and the Bucs lose on Sunday. Falcons are NFC South champions, playoff berth, all that stuff. Okay?
Absolutely.
You lose, and it gets a little cloudier. Look, you're still in the driver's seat. Okay? So no matter what happens on Thursday, the Falcons are still in the driver's seat in the division. You know, depending on what happens on Sunday, you're still in good position with the one, you know, for the number one seed,
right?
Which is definitely something the Falcons want. You know, everything hinges on what happens Thursday night, and I don't think that the gravity of that is lost on this team. I think they know,
right?
This Falcons team knows that losing is not much of an option on Thursday.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think they'll say it, but there's a little bit of that revenge factor. They, you know, there's no love between these two teams.
None.
And you know, they don't necessarily share that publicly, but, you know, it's the truth. And I think they definitely want to get that win against the Saints. They want to begin to erase some of that history. They, you know, the way that they lost two or three weeks ago against the Saints, you know, they felt like they had that game in a position where they could win it. You know, but at the same time, and this is something I don't think the Falcons think about, but I think the Falcons fan base thinks about, Saints fan base probably as well. Saints lose, and their season's pretty much done. I mean,
yeah.
You know, a run to the playoffs is probably going to be out of the question at 5-7.
Look,
heading down the stretch.
Look, you get that situation a couple of weeks ago where you lose to them when you feel like you could have won, but to put them out of the playoffs mathematically would be pretty sweet, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, I
absolutely.
Would be
yeah,
thrilled.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally. Thrilled. Yeah. I mean, that's all you can say.
You and I see it all the time on Twitter. I mean, we're not immune.
We don't call it this, but I see it. You know, the fans call it Saints Hate Week, and
yeah, I won't call it that.
Stuff.
But
I mean,
I call it Saints Block Week because that block button on Twitter comes in handy because that's what I do.
Yeah, I mean, and Saints fans start following you.
Yep, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Blocked.
Yeah, this is true. So, you know, we're about to talk about stats and everything else, but you know, this is the game. I feel like. Where everything gets thrown out the window, Saints and Falcons, it's a completely different environment.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's a whole new ball
game. You're absolutely right. They're going to come ready to play. We're going to come ready to play. It's going to be live in the Georgia Dome. I cannot wait.
I love it. I love it.
The fans are going to be – like, I'm not – this isn't just like an expectation. Like, I know this is a virtual certainty. That place is going to be on fire. Come Thursday night at kickoff, and I know I've talked to a lot of fans on Twitter who just have been saying since after we won on Sunday, I can't wait for Thursday. This is the game everybody's been looking forward to, and you can feel it in the air. You know, I'm jacked up. I'm ready to put Anthony through a wall right
now. Yeah, absolutely. It's a short week, but we're working so hard, and there's so much to do, but it's all worth it. I can't wait for Thursday.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's get on to our – always popular buy or sell segment on this abbreviated Falcon cast. And we'll turn it over to AJ.
All right. Based on last week, the Falcons head coach Mike Smith is forcing the run game when it isn't there. You want to buy or sell that one?
I'll sell that all day. I think the running game was there this past week. I think sometimes, you know, you've got a great passing attack. You've got two great wide receivers. You've got – you know, the best tight end to ever play the game on your offense. I think, you know, you're going to want to throw the ball, but you've got to run the ball at some point too. And you know what? Against the number one run defense in the league, the Falcons actually did pretty well. Look, if you're only going by the box score, you missed everything because Quiz had some nice runs, Turner had some nice runs in good situations where they needed it, and I thought the run game was there. And I think that's in this offense, that's all you're really asking your running backs to do. I think the days of seeing, you know, 120, 130-yard performances out of a Falcons running back is probably gone because you don't need it. If you're going to give your guys, you know, you're going to split up basically what are you looking at, like 20 carries? Maybe, that's on the high
23,
end.
You know, 24 including
if
Matt
you're
going to
split up, yeah, if you're going to split up 23 carries between like three or four guys – no one player is ever going to really have a legit shot at, you know, 100 yards or, you know, whatever, because unless they break off a couple of big ones, you know, I just don't think that the offense is geared towards that anymore, where we've seen it like that in the past. However, I thought the run game was there. I thought there were a couple of plays, you know, towards the end of the game. We had to kind of check and see if it was still there, and the Bucs made the proper adjustments. But you have to check. You have to feel it out. And so I sell that. I thought it was there for the most part.
You know, I'm going to buy it. And I think the word force is a little strong, but Coach Smith said, you know, we entered this game knowing that Tampa was the number one run defense in the league, and we, you know, hadn't quite run the ball the way we wanted to. And Coach Smith has always talked about wanting to run the ball and that being a part of what they believe, you know, just the Falcons philosophy, regardless of who the coordinator is. And, you know, he said we wanted to do that. So we were intent on trying. We felt like I don't remember his exact words, but he said, we felt like we needed to at least try. So to me, there's a little bit of a force there, you know, kind of making something, you're trying to make something work that hasn't been working. But regardless of that, you're right, Jay, they made it work. And 79 yards doesn't maybe sound like a lot, but you know, 2 touchdowns from the ground, 24 carries, 79 yards. You know, I feel like that's an effective piece of the offense. And they you know, the run game, even though it kind of took a while to get going, you know, and even in the first half, but I feel like the 80-yard pass, touchdown pass from Matt to Julio was set up because of that run game, you know. And let's just go ahead and say shout out to Jaquizz Rodgers, 10 carries, 49 yards, 150-something yards all-purpose, including the 40-something yard kickoff return that he had, 2 catches, I believe, for 30 yards. Also, one more shout out to Jack Clark on Twitter, who's got a new nickname for Jaquizz, the Ankle Assassin.
There were a couple of nicknames for Quiz, and I tweeted out an Ankle Assassin.
Oh, you did? Jack, okay, my mistake.
Me and Jack may have to look back and see the timestamp on that, because
I apologize.
There may be, I may have some.
Okay. Well, regardless of where it came from, I like it.
Yeah, I heard a couple of, I mean, Muscle Mouse, Speed Beaver was a popular one the other day.
From the Oregon State Beavers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's get on to our next one here. Anthony, take it away.
All right, the Falcons have an inferiority complex when it comes to the Saints. Buy or sell?
You know, I sell that. I don't think that this is a situation where, like, the Saints are in the Falcons' head or anything like that. It's just, look, the Saints have had a good team. Games go different ways a lot. You know, I would say when I was playing high school football, I could say, okay, this other team was in my head. Like, I knew that, you know. But I don't think that happens in the NFL. I don't think it's like that. And you really look at when that, what is it, 11 of 13 losses against the Saints started. I mean, the rosters changed.
Yeah. I went back when I pulled that out, it went back to 06.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about how much the rosters have changed.
Yeah, for both teams.
For both teams. And not only rosters, but coaching staffs and all that stuff. You know, I don't buy that stuff when it comes to the NFL. I just don't.
Yeah, I think maybe the fans might have a little bit, but I think it's more of such a strong desire to beat the Saints. It's a rival game. You know, and the Saints can say what they want. You know, you're not a rival because we beat you so much and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I sell that statement because you're right, Jay. If these are grown men playing, they're professionals, you know, and you can apply this to any business. If your opponent or your competitor, you know, is inside your head, you're doomed.
Yeah.
So the Falcons are. If you're buying that statement, we can just go ahead and hang it up for Thursday night. You know, Saints are going to win this one. But you know, I don't believe that for a minute. I mean, these guys are full of confidence, and again, you look back on how the games have gone against the Saints, and you know, yeah, there's some wins that kind of got away from the Falcons. But for the most part, a lot of these games were really close games. So, you know, it's just, you know, the Falcons just haven't had it all go their way. But, you know, I saw that statement. I don't think they're inside their head at all. And I think they're more than confident when they take that field on Thursday.
Okay. Last topic.
All right. The Falcons will not continue to win if they continue to lose the turnover battle.
You know, I think this is one of those storylines that I think we're just now starting to notice is that I think in the last 4 games, I mean, no turnovers, is that right? Or maybe one. I know the swing is way different than it was at the beginning of the season. What do we got, 2 over the last 4 games?
Okay. Yeah, 2. Yeah, 1 against New Orleans and 1 against Arizona.
Okay. So 2 turnovers over the last 4 games, and you know, you look back at the beginning of the season, the way that the Falcons were turning over the ball and getting the ball back in their offense's hands, that hasn't happened recently, you know. And that's one of those things that is, you know, turnover. As Smitty said yesterday, turnovers are not overrated, you know, and because he was asked about this last night. And, you know, it's one of those things where they've got to figure out a way to force those turnovers and get those turnovers going again and get the ball back to their offense. Because the thing is, Drew Brees can't hurt you if he's on the sideline. That's just fact of the matter. He can't hurt you if he's on the sideline. And so if you force him to the sideline with some turnovers, all the better. So I don't think that the look, they've proven that they can win without him. So I don't think there's a – I don't think it's a do-or-die situation, but it certainly puts you in a better situation if you're turning the ball – if you're forcing turnovers and you're giving your offense the ball back.
So you sell it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to sell that. Okay. I'm going to sell it on the technicality, okay, that they can continue to win without him. But it's probably pretty important that they start getting those again.
Yeah, I buy it. You're right, Jay. They've won games doing something that everyone in the NFL says you can't do, which is, you know, lose the turnover margin. They started the season, like you said, you know, it was like plus 12. So they were like number two, number one in the league in turnover margin, and they're at plus three right now. Last week they didn't force any turnovers, and they gave away two against Arizona. They forced one, and, you know, we all know about the six. Plus three right now. It's a dangerous game to play, and I feel like these guys – you're right. I spoke to Thomas Dekou about it today, and, you know, it's something that just kind of has been happening lately, and he felt like some of the struggles in the run game were involved in some of that lack of ability to force turnovers, and they feel like they maybe have some fixes for that. They're definitely encouraged from what they were able to accomplish last week in the run game. So they're kind of back to playing their game against the offense as opposed to kind of being dictated a little bit. So, but I still buy the statement. Yeah, you know, there's going to come a time where that, you know, just historically, that trend will come back to haunt you. So I don't feel like it's a game that they want to continue to play. I think Coach Nolan is busy scheming right now and has been for the last 48 hours, making sure they can force some turnovers against Drew Brees.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going on to our Twitter keys to victory. We solicited profusely your keys to winning the game. And we've chosen three of what we thought are the best for Thursday's game. And Anthony's going to read them off, and then Daniel and I are going to rank them in an order that we feel is most appropriate for Thursday's game.
I like the idea.
Thanks. I'm not sure whose idea it was. I think it might have been Daniel's. But
I like the idea, Daniel. It's creative.
Thumbs up from Daniel.
All right, let's go ahead and get this ball rolling. The first one is from SoCal Falcon. His statement is score sevens, not threes. The next one is Super 930. The Falcons need to minimize mistakes and force Breeves to make the mistakes. And last but not least, the Rusco, blitz, blitz, and blitz. So rank those 1 through 3. 3, 2, 1.
This is tough because, you know, I see all of these things as extremely important to Thursday's game. Why don't we start out? I'll give my number three, then okay. You give your number three, and then we'll go back and forth. Does that work for you?
Yeah, man, absolutely.
All right, so let's go. I'm going to say my number three is going to be blitz, blitz, and did I say blitz? I think it's hugely important to get pressure. Okay, and everybody's looking at what San Francisco did against the Saints and what they did against Drew Brees, and they did it with the blitz, but they also did it a lot with Aldon Smith, you know, getting that pressure off the end. You know, there's a lot of different ways to get pressure. So I think pressure is going to be hugely important because you force Drew Brees to step up in a pocket, and he's not very tall. So when you force him to step up, you know, he can't really see over the lineman, and you've got a good chance, all that stuff, okay? I see it as hugely important, okay? But I see these other two things as pretty close. So let me put that out there. All three of mine are very close. So you could go 1A, 1B, 1C on these for me anyways. But that's going to be my number three.
Absolutely. Okay, I'll say my number three is score sevens, not threes. That's obviously important. We want to kick – you know, we want to be kicking points after – touchdowns, not field goals. And you know, Matt Bryant had some struggles with the field goal kicking last week as well. That's something I'm not concerned about based on his history. He's never given us a reason to worry before, and you know, that is what it is. But I feel like you know, the Saints defense is what it is. Bottom half, the 30th and 32nd in the league in pass defense and run defense. And I just feel like, you know, scoring opportunities and touchdowns are going to be there for the Falcons. It's always important to score touchdowns versus field goals, but I feel like that's kind of going to be a given in some ways on this Sunday. So that's my number three, but I think you're right, Jay. All three of these are very closely related, closely grouped.
Closely grouped. Okay. So I'm going to go my number two is going to be the Falcons need to minimize mistakes and force Drew Brees to make mistakes. And, you know, you could argue that even my number two and number three go hand in hand because ultimately, you know, pressure is going to cause Brees to make those quick decisions and maybe make some mistakes. But I think forcing him to make mistakes, like I brought up, you know, earlier in the show, is you keep him on the sideline. You get him on the sideline. You keep him there. He can't hurt you there. So I think that's going to be hugely important. And I think that this is a team, you know, when you're talking about the Falcons offenses on the field, you can't make those mistakes and turn the ball over because you bring Brees right back on the field. That's when he can hurt you. So for me, that's pretty important.
Yeah. My number two is blitz. And did I say blitz? I feel like pressure, like you said, you know, pressure on Drew Brees is important. I feel like, you know, Drew Brees has played so well in this league for so long, but one of the things that maybe isn't talked about quite enough is I don't think he responds well to pressure. I don't think he responds well to pressure up the middle. I think edge rushers are not quite as effective against Drew Brees because he's so intelligent and he's so well prepared. He can kind of anticipate that. But when the pocket collapses from the middle, and he's a small guy, it changes the way he sees the field. And I think that's the key. So I think Jonathan Babineau and some of those guys are going to be really important in pushing that pocket in a little bit. But I still think some blitzing from different spots. I'll never forget a couple years back the blitz from Thomas Dekou I can't remember what year it was, but it was on the Falcons side of the field, and it was just a beautiful play. So I think some blitzes like that, some creative stuff like that from Coach Nolan are going to be important. But you want to force mistakes from Drew Brees. You know, he was, like you said, last week he was sacked 5 times by the 49ers, and that's one defense that can bring the pressure in a lot of ways, a lot of scary ways. But, you know, those 5 sacks produced 2 interceptions from Drew Brees, so I think that's kind of a key. And I'm just going to go ahead and jump right ahead and say my number one, and like you were saying, Jay, these kind of go hand in hand, is the Falcons need to minimize mistakes and force Brees to make mistakes. Like I said, you know, blitzing will kind of lead to some of those mistakes from Drew Brees perhaps. And I feel like, you know, taking care of the ball on offense is going to be important because leaving Drew Brees on the sidelines is kind of the key to beating the Saints.
Okay, and I'm going to say, you know, obviously number one, score 7s, not 3s. I think when you're talking about New Orleans, you're going to expect that offense to put up some points, and you got to keep up as an offense. And I think that makes it hugely important to get 7s and not 3s because you've got to expect every time that if you go about it expecting Drew Brees to score a touchdown every time he touches the ball, that means you got to do the same. So, you know, for me, that's going to be number one, is keeping up with him on the scoreboard. So there you go. 1, 2, and 3, we disagree. And yet we're all still family. And I think all that rhymed, too. AJ, can I get a check on that?
1, 2, 3, we disagree. Yet we're all still family.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
That's a Dr. Seuss poem right there.
I think so. All right, let's get up on our last little bit of business here.
All right, this is the wrap-up portion, and as you all know, this is where we check out who was right and who was wrong from last week. So, Jay, you had Roddy, 5 catches, 57 yards.
Good performance.
Good performance.
Julio had him, though.
Is it fair to say his brother Julio? Because, I mean, they are, like, neck and neck. You know, they're really tight.
You might as well.
And Daniel, I mean, good God. 6 tackles, 1 tackle for a loss, and Sean Witherspoon? Oh, man, you hit it on the head, didn't you, man? Are you proud?
I mean, I don't – you know, there may have been some better performances, and we can't necessarily say that Sean Weatherspoon was the sole reason the Falcons limited the muscle hamster to 50 yards rushing, which is his second lowest yardage of the season. But hey, he was out there, and you know, things got better. So, you know, if I'm looking at all three, and we haven't discussed yours yet, AJ, if I'm looking at all three, I'm going to say I came through with the closest impact player.
Well, last but not least, my pick, I chose Bobby Mack. I mean, his coverage was off and on. It was there, and then it wasn't there sometimes.
I completely disagree with you.
I mean, he stepped up when Asante went out.
I completely disagree with you. Bobby Mack had a great game. I just don't think it showed up in the stat box. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, two tackles and one pass deflection.
His coverage was great. He even admits he got juked on one tackle, but he even admitted later on Twitter that he wished that he would have had that one, and that doesn't normally happen to him. So but I think you need to watch the film, my man. Like Stephen Nicholas tells me, watch the film.
It's just I get caught up on just the statistical
and asking for cupcakes on Twitter. That's what you get wrapped up in.
Yeah, those cupcakes was good, man.
Yeah.
Oh, make sure you check out Feed AJ Thursday. We are doing it. Remember that. But I think we're going to change it up this week. I think I want Daniel to go first.
Okay.
Then I go second.
Okay.
And then you go last.
Your Honor.
So you on the spot, Daniel. Let's go first.
Okay. My hair is sticking up because when I'm put on the spot, I tend to pull my hair. Real quickly, just so I can change the subject and stall for some time. Atlanta clinches a playoff spot this week with a win and a Seattle loss or tie, or an Atlanta tie and Seattle loss or Minnesota loss. I'm sorry. Let me say that again because this is the time of the year when it's so confusing. Atlanta tie with in combination or conjunction with a Seattle loss and a Minnesota loss. So Atlanta wins against Seattle, and we're in the playoffs for sure. No questions asked. Okay. my player of the week. I am not prepared for this.
You need to get prepared, man. You're supposed to walk in here prepared.
Oh, gosh. All right. I'm going to say – I mean – I have. I'm just trying to explain it. Jaquizz Rodgers. I'm just gonna say his name. I've been on the guy's bandwagon since the day he walked in the door. I'll never forget reading Peter King compare him to Ray Rice, and I feel like, you know, we haven't seen that game quite out of him on a Ray Rice level. We're talking Pro Bowl level. And hey, maybe he's not a Ray Rice level guy, a Pro Bowl level guy, but he's talented. And every week we see him make these crazy moves on the field. Running in space and doing things and just making things happen with the ball when he's got it in his hands. 10 carries again last week, 49 yards, 4.9 yards a carry. He was catching passes. I feel like he's becoming the dynamic guy out of the backfield, doing a variety of different things you know, that maybe some of our other personnel can't do, and I feel like he's taking steps each week, and I think this is the week where we see a really big game coming out of Jaquizz Rodgers. And again, you know, we see a Saints defense that's 30th in the league or 32nd in the league and passed. I'm sorry for that. I don't have the stats, but they're in the 30s in both pass defense and run defense, and Jaquizz can do both, and he's going to bring it. And then don't forget the kickoff returns. It's about time.
All right, AJ, you're up.
All right. I think I've been going with defense. I was thinking about switching up to offense and being smart and going Matt Ryan with no interceptions or turnovers. But I think I want to see Mike Peterson just smack Shane Graham in the mouth one good time. Wait.
Can we start over here? Because Shane Graham, I believe, is the kicker Cincinnati Bengals.
Not Shane Graham. What is it with you? Graham. What's his name?
Jimmy
Graham. Okay. Sorry. Same family. Wrong last name. Whatever you want to do. Okay. Yeah. Shane Graham. Okay. He is the kicker. But
for the Texans. Oh, for the Texans. Okay. He was with Cincinnati.
Okay, yeah.
He was signed by the Saints at one time.
Hey, I was close.
You got that.
I was close.
You got that.
I was close. But Jimmy Graham, you know, he had an explosive game against us, which I do not want to relive. But I think Mike Peterson is just going to just knock one of his teeth out. That's what I want to see.
Oh, God. How do I follow that? Like, I can't follow that. All right. You know, I think about this, and I go back and forth, and I try to think of who's the one player who could provide the boost that the Falcons need to win. That's my impact player, right? Isn't that what you think of when you're like, trying to figure this out? I think this game comes down to one guy, and it comes down to Matt Ryan.
That's okay. My quarterback.
That's my quarterback tier, okay? Because yeah, you were going to pick him too, but you're taking Mike Peterson with a healthy Sean Weatherspoon on the field.
I was going to pick him too.
Yeah. No. Matt Ryan, to me, this game is on him. He wants this win. The team wants this win. I think, you know, he's shown a ridiculous amount of leadership this year. I think it all culminates with this game. With so much on the line, putting yourself in position to be in the best spot possible when it comes to the playoffs. And I think this is a quarterback that has prepared himself and prepared the rest of his teammates for what's about to happen. And I think this game could go a long way towards pushing this team and pushing Matt Ryan in the playoffs. And I don't think that's lost on him. I think he understands that. And I just really think that he's going to step up when he needs to. And, I mean, he needs to. And so he's going to. Because that's what he does. That's all he does. So.
You just gave me goosebumps, Jay.
I can tell that came from the heart.
It did.
I mean, whew.
It did.
You could be a preacher with that sermon right
there. I don't know. Well, maybe I'll just teach you a little bit more about football. How does that sound?
Yeah. I think I like that logic.
All right, let's wrap it up. We have once again gone completely off the rails. And we'll be back, hopefully, at our regularly scheduled time next week. And enjoy the festivities Thursday night. Let's hope it's a great one.